Is that how you remain so even keeled throughout the day?
Even temperament?
Even keeled is a word.
Oh, okay.
Is it?
Jesus. What the hell?
Don't be so even keeled.
Characterized by stability or consistency. Oh, I'm sorry. I know the English language. All right. Welcome to Rated NA Podcast 41?
42.
To the site nerdappropriate.com. Howdy, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired, too. I have a little bit of the old Batman funk in my eyes, so to speak. Yeah.
Bat funk.
Yeah.
That's a weird funk.
I haven't stayed up till 4 playing games in a really long time. And I did it last night.
Did you drink Mountain Dew and eat Funyuns?
You know, I didn't have an ample supply of snacks, so it was rather unfortunate. I was like down to like some pretzel sticks, and
it's just not the same.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a garage sale today, so I was up super early. And when we finished, when I finished, although you were there, so we kind of
and I helped.
I was like, I'm going to clean the living room because the living room needs to be cleaned really bad right now. And I was like, I'm going to clean the living room, do some more packing. And then like I walked in my living room and all of my muscles were just like,
yeah.
And I immediately sat down, ordered a Papa John's pizza and just turned on Batman and was like, this is all I'm going to do today until the podcast.
Pizza sounds awesome. Delicious.
We, moving oddly enough, damned. Got Papa John's pizza last night as well.
Well, we are sponsored by Papa John's.
We are. Thanks, Papa
Thanks,
John's.
Thanks, Papa John's.
Yeah. I always request special drawings on my pizza boxes, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, please
can
draw.
Can you do it online? Because I can't find
you
where
can.
You can.
There's
it.
A special request box.
Oh, okay.
And past couple times they drew me a...
Do you tip well, too?
I do. Okay. Pretty well. They drew me a triclops.
All right.
They drew me a cyclops.
Sweet.
They drew me a... goblin.
Sweet.
Which looked remarkably like the triclops.
So wait a minute, you can request that they draw a picture on your pizza box?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh yeah. Well, and then last week, oddly enough, we got pizza as well. I requested a monster drawing and the guy just wrote no in all caps with an exclamation point.
Oh Lord. They're over it.
And then this time I requested a unicorn and the pizza delivery girl said I'm sorry I couldn't draw your unicorn, but next time we're really busy. And I was like, okay. So, yeah, that's the fun that I have with the pizza folks.
That's sweet. Cool. We were bored last night, so I watched Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh man. Yeah.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the theme song to that, so I don't think we can sing it.
You don't?
No.
It's like, Rocko's Modern Life. Rocko's Modern Life. You remember that?
The dog with the Tommy Bahama shirt on?
It's a wallaby.
Oh, it's a wallaby?
And he has a dog named Spunky.
Yeah, he's a wallaby.
But we watched the episode where they buy the giant vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And the vacuum cleaner eats everything in the neighborhood. And then that was like, back then they were showing two episodes in the half hour block. And the other one was the one with Filbert when he was
turn the page, wash your hands.
Turn the page, wash your hands. And then you turn the page and then you wash your hands.
I've never seen
He's
anything.
The agoraphobic...
Turtle.
Oh, wow.
And he's working...
Or not agoraphobic. He's a... I guess he's kind
he's
of
germaphobe, yeah.
But he's a germaphobe.
Oh, wow.
So he's like working in the comic book store and he's like, the ink comes off on your hands and then you have to turn the page and then wash your hands.
Oh, wow. I like the sound of him.
It's classic.
He's awesome.
He's kind of like Mort, kind you know?
Mort.
From Family Guy?
Oh, yeah. He's
okay.
Yeah.
So what else is new?
What have you guys been up to this fine week? I've been watching Rocko's.
It was my last week at work, so.
Did you have like a? Have you seen the footage of the guy quitting his job with the marching band? Oh, it is amazing.
I had the opposite where I ended up on my last day being there until 7:30 trying to finish things.
Yikes!
I can't leave things just like leave them at work, and I know full well I'm the only one who can do like half the stuff that I do at work. There's nobody to like. He figured out how to fill some of the gaps while before he can hire somebody new, but there's no one to do a couple of things.
Yeah.
So I just felt I just couldn't do it. I could not like just walk away. We had two things that I knew needed to be finished, so I just stayed there until they were done.
Brutal.
That was mighty kind of you.
Yeah.
I would have hired a marching band and been like, "Fuck off!"
I got Ruby Tuesday's lunch bought for me on Thursday.
Nice.
That was my going
away. Did you get a little bit of the old runny runs from the old Ruby Tuesdays?
No, man.
That food there is pretty tame now, actually.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
If you haven't been there in a while.
It used to just be deep fried everything.
No.
Their menu has like four items on it now.
Really?
Yeah.
I did a buffalo chicken slider.
Okay.
And a regular slider with the salad bar.
I've learned things about sliders in recent years.
They're just shitty cheap meat.
They're just small sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yep.
So but you can get two of different kinds.
I'm the type of guy that wants just like one big ass sandwich. I don't want many little sandwiches.
Right.
Kind of. What did you get at the? We went to Five Guys the other night.
Oh my god!
And you made the comment that somebody's sandwich was inside of your sandwich.
Oh my god! It was like.
Oh,
was
did you get the large, like the extra
I got
large?
A double,
that
double
have you ever
bacon.
Eaten there before?
Yeah.
Would you have
double bacon with like pretty much everything?
Oh, Jesus.
You had like four patties, right?
Something brutal.
Like
yeah.
It was amazing.
Well, isn't there regular burger two patties? You have to get the junior to only get one.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's incredible.
And it had like eight strips of bacon on
yeah.
it.
God.
It was glorious, yeah.
I'm glad none of us have had dinner and we've just started off this podcast just talking about food.
Yeah, we're freaking starving.
Well, that's one thing we did for a going away event for me. We went to Five Guys and then we went and saw Ghostbusters
Holy
in the theater.
Crap, that was so good.
It was good. It was good. I was in a bit of a food coma, though, so I was like struggling to stay awake.
Oh, man, it was so good.
It holds up so well, though.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
It does.
It really does. It's still incredibly funny.
Yeah.
And the effects are still mind-blowing. Especially those
Mind
dogs.
Blowing?
Especially yeah. those dogs.
Dude, it's great. It can't be any other way. That movie just has to stay
that
the
movie
way
it is. Yeah, it's yeah. Have you heard about the theory of what the third one is?
No, what is that?
It's the Ghostbusters in Hell.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, they have some kind of interdimensional travel thing and they end up in a hell version of Manhattan fighting ghosts.
Oh, nice.
Crazy.
Right. And supposedly Bill Murray's going to be dead.
That's what I heard. I heard he's a ghost.
If you haven't played that game yet, have you?
No, it's sitting in my play pile.
It's kind of like a Ghostbusters 2.5 or
That's
something.
That's what I heard, yeah.
So it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we have a
How
lot
about
of...
you guys?
No
one else said what they were doing, only I did.
Oh. Well, I talked about Rocco.
Yeah. I played some games.
More Batman.
I took off. I actually took off from work yesterday because I thought I was going to get to play Battlefield with Respawn today.
Yeah.
I talked to Abby Heppy and she says, "Yeah, I'll shoot you an invite." And so I'm like, "I need to practice because this is going
to
be really fucking sad."
I need to practice.
If I end up playing with the guys that created Call of Duty and I'm the worst one on the team, I'm going to feel really bad about myself.
You should be the worst one on the team.
I know. But
I mean, it's perfectly logical.
But
I wanted
to be the best one on the team. So they're like, "We need to hire you to make the next Respawn game." That's my logic. So I'm like, I need to not get paid at my job that I'm working
on. It was a Hello Kitty.
Yeah.
That's what they're working on, the Hello Kitty title or something?
I don't have any idea. But anyway, so I took off and I played a lot of Battlefield, and we'll talk about that later. But
cool.
It was a sad, sad state. That was pretty much it for me this week.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what are we doing today?
What's coming up on the show?
All right, so we're going to talk a bunch about Arkham City. Both Matt and myself finished it, so we're going to try and do a little bit of a spoiler-free wrap-up because I know Scott's going to play it pretty much next. We're also going to talk about two big pieces of DLC that are coming out from Arkham City, as well as hints of a sequel that we just heard about today. Also, the iOS game Squids, we're going to talk about that, and Living Color is coming back for two mini specials or so we hear. Star Wars The Old Republic, Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, and then we got a whole bunch of reviews.
Sweet.
Yeah. What are we reviewing?
We're reviewing Dance Central 2. Scott played it. Did you play?
I haven't played it yet.
I have played it.
Scott played Dance Central 2.
Yes.
We're going to do our Batman recap. Battlefield 3 on your part, and Scott played Ico.
Yes,
Eco.
I did.
Project Eco. Or not Project. What was it called?
Ico.
Is it just Eco?
Yeah,
Eco?
It's just the HD...
Eco, Ico, IA.
What?
I don't know what language that was.
Okay.
No, it's the song.
Is it like a Paul Simon song?
That sounds like a Paul Simon.
He's like, eco, eco,
yeah, I know the song. I just can't. I can't think of the hell the song is.
My grandma and your grandma sitting by the fire.
It's Beetlejuice, right?
Really?
Don't they sing it in Beetlejuice?
Also, I heard today Michael Keaton, they're trying to sign him for a Beetlejuice spinoff.
Wow.
Sequel / spinoff.
Like the cartoon?
No, like they're like going to make a new Beetlejuice.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Hopefully with
He's not doing anything.
Who knows? He might have a secret career overseas.
Well, I mean, maybe he's doing something in his personal life. I just mean he's not acting right now.
I mean, what's the problem? Are they trying to get Alec Baldwin to come back too?
I don't know.
I mean, because...
He's not going to do it.
Really?
No, he probably wouldn't.
No.
Come on, dude.
I don't think he'd do it.
No.
Come on.
I don't think he holds that movie as close to his heart as Michael Keaton would.
Well, he should. That's a dog.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be on the microphone.
I thought there was this strange, like, ticking in my brain.
So let's take 2 seconds and we'll come back for the news.
All right.
So the news, I didn't read this, so you guys tell me about Batman Arkham City.
Okay, so there's obviously a whole bunch of DLC that's planned for
this
title.
I saw the
Robin
DLC, but...
Yeah, there's probably the big one is on Tuesday, which is November 1st. There's going to be Nightwing DLC.
Hell yeah, there is.
And Nightwing has his own unique moveset, similar to both Batman and Catwoman, how they have their own unique moves and gadgets and stuff.
Shock sticks.
And shock sticks, yeah. So Nightwing looks pretty awesome, and he has his own set of Riddler challenges to accomplish, which is pretty cool. So that one is the first one.
So when they do these add-ons, I mean, it obviously can't be in the series with a story.
Yeah.
Although the Catwoman ones really aren't, when you think about it. They're kind of...
Yeah, but they kind of they do kind of slide into the story, know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this one is going to exist outside of the story, but I don't know if you've gotten a chance to do some of the Riddler stuff, like the challenges that aren't in the game, like the different...
No, I haven't done those.
They're pretty cool. Like, he'll send you up against three different types of, like, one mission you'll have to be, like, completely stealth and knock out everybody without being seen, and one you'll have to eliminate multiple waves of opponents. Nightwing is going to be playable in all of those, and apparently we'll have some new ones as well. And he comes with both the standard Nightwing skin and the Batman Animated Series Nightwing skin.
I know we're going to get into this a little bit more in the reviews, but how does this work with the additional characters? Do you play the game as those characters, or do they have their own storylines? Or
yeah, they have like their own pieces of story that you play, and then he's talking about like they have their own challenge maps.
Oh, so you don't get to pick like I'm gonna be Catwoman instead of Batman.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. The story is too well written to do that.
Yeah, there are sections of the story where you, and after you complete the game, you can swap back and forth between Batman and Catwoman on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play the standard story and you have a new version of Batman Arkham City, you'll be able to play as Catwoman through different story sections of the game where
cool.
she either like comes to Batman's aid or, you know, has her own little side adventure going on at the same time that kind of runs parallel to the main story. It's done really well. The other big piece of DLC coming out is the Robin DLC, which I think came with your version.
No, the Robin skins came with my version.
Oh, okay.
Maybe the DLC did. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. I can't play it yet. That's
okay.
All I know.
It's probably not quite out yet. So
maybe it'll just appear.
Maybe. Who knows? But the Robin stuff, Robin, an all-new playable character, that stuff comes out at the end of the month, I want to say, the very end of November. So.
Yeah.
So cool stuff. And also the sequel hinted. I'm going to see if I can say this without getting into too big of a spoiler. So you beat Batman, right?
Yes.
Obviously, with the reviews this is getting and with the buzz this game is getting, there's going to be a sequel.
Yes.
If you were to guess where the sequel would go next, where do you think the sequel would go next? If you just had to take a wild shot in the dark and you had to pick, because... Started out in the asylum.
Right.
And then it goes to Arkham City. So where do you think it would go next?
Well, Scott doesn't know, obviously.
I don't know.
Into a floating city in the sky.
Is it just going to be Gotham next? Is it just going to be the
huge, I think it's going to be Gotham.
All Gotham.
And there's some stuff that when you start completing all the side challenges, there's little pieces of story that kind of hint to it. To it being sort of a big, giant Gotham adventure. And also, one of the devs said something on Twitter today that kind of leans towards a little bit of the old Gotham City being the next...
There are some difficulties presented by the story, though, as to what the sequel would be.
I think the... You and I, it's so hard to talk about without saying anything wrong. Unless Scott does earmuffs for a minute, and then we'll just have a, I don't know. But anyway, so
yeah,
looks like it's probably going to expand out to Arkham City.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah,
you know,
a much larger open space.
You mean Gotham City? You said Arkham.
Oh yeah, Gotham City. So cool.
So do you understand the concept of Arkham City, right? That this is just like a small portion of the city that they've blocked off.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I played the first game, and that's pretty much the extent of my knowledge.
Right. So they basically...
But we talked about this last time, right? It's like, I said it was like Escape from New York.
Yes, it's like Escape from New York, but like it's only a small portion of Gotham. It's Arkham City.
Oh, okay.
So it's like where Arkham is located, which I think is south of Gotham.
Cool. Yeah.
So they just... turned a giant chunk of the city into like a slum. And
I like that I just said south of Gotham as if I have any clue what direction Arkham City would be.
Yeah, no, I like that.
South, you know, it would be. It would seem like south would be
south
a logical.
Right, right?
Yeah. So good stuff. Anyway, obviously, Matt and I are totally smitten with this game, so any piece of DLC will probably be downloaded.
This is
going to
be Mass Effect 2 level downloads where I just get everything that comes out.
I want the fucking Frank Miller skin so bad.
Frank Miller skin?
Yeah.
The
Dark Knight Returns skin is sick looking because he's huge.
The Jim Lee ones are all huge too.
Yeah, that's true.
Or who else would I want? I don't know. Anyways.
The worst one's like the Green Lantern.
They put out the animated series one, right?
Yeah, that one's the one I got for pre-ordering. It looks pretty cool, but it's a little weird, but it looks cool.
Oh, you're talking about the Brightest Day skin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. Very strange. Anyway, so... We love Batman.
Do.
Indeed. And next on the list of news, the little iOS game that we talked about earlier, Squids, that I was actually just playing a minute ago, it just got its numbers back in, and it's actually the number one rated RPG currently in the world on iOS.
Oh, I was going to say, what do you mean? Like, I needed more qualification on that statement.
Oh, so right now it's the, I guess in terms of raw downloads for like the past month and ratings and such, it topped all the other RPGs this month. And it actually, in France, where the dev team is from.
How many RPGs are on the iOS?
There's actually a good number, a couple hundred. So,
okay.
So it did pretty well. But, actually got a chance to play through the bulk of Squids, and it is a lot of fun. They put a lot of depth into it, and you can get all sorts of little different helmets and cool stuff. So definitely check out Squids on the iOS. It's getting some good reviews, and we called it our PAX Prime mobile game of show. So I agree.
It looks amazing. I can't wait to play.
No, it's a lot of fun.
Can I just
yes.
not to point out the obvious. But Ash, you just agreed with yourself.
Did I?
You said we called it the PAX Prime mobile game of show.
Yeah.
But you were the one that went to PAX Prime, and then you said, and I agree wholeheartedly.
Oh. Dude, I've been battling with schizophrenia for quite some time.
It was kind of awesome because you were like, we named it game of show, and I agree with that.
I agree with naming it.
Well, don't peel back the curtain too much for our listeners.
Thank you, Papa John's, for sponsoring the show today.
Yes. Sponsored by Papa John's.
So, Scott,
I don't know.
You in living color?
I don't know where I read this, but I saw it like this morning.
Wait, do we not have a...
No, we have a story. Like, this is true. This is a true thing. Okay. But apparently, Fox is going to do two special episodes of In Living Color mid-season, I think, next year. And then I think that if this takes off...
Here's my problem.
Yeah.
In Living Color was not SNL... or Mad with a constantly revolving cast. It was the Wayans brothers. It was
Jim Carrey, Jamie Foxx,
and
Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez.
Well, she was a dancer, yeah. or Fly Girl, excuse me. And shit, I just blanked his name. Anyways, but it was a core crew of people. Are they get? There's no way they're getting Jim Carrey back.
No, and no. I think I would have to imagine what they're going to do is probably get a new cast. And yeah.
You got to have a Wayans, though, right?
Keenan Ivory Wayans is going to be the executive producer of
That's
the show.
Not enough.
I know. Yeah. I know.
There are three Wayans on the show.
There's got to be more
14 of
now.
Them waiting.
Yeah. There's like so many Wayans. I have to say that In Living Color probably spawned the most annoying catchphrases of the 90s. The
fireman.
Homie, don't play that.
What's the fire marshal Bill?
Fire marshal Bill.
Yeah. Oh, God. They were horrible. Well,
Jim Carrey, when he's like, let me show you something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, but they were funny. They were horrible because people just took them and said them endlessly.
Over and over again.
Yeah, they never went away.
Homie Don't Play That was constant.
Right.
My dad said it to me all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not saying that it wasn't overplayed. I'm just saying that it was good. And Living Color was funny. Yeah,
and the Homeboy Shopping Network.
Oh, yeah.
They sell the stuff
Homeboy
out of the,
shopping.
Didn't
out
they,
of the
like,
back of the truck.
Did they, like, drink urine in that all the time?
Was it urine?
I think they
because there was a bum. Like, didn't Damon Wayans play, bum and he would drink...
Yeah,
am I making that up?
He would talk to the kids. No, he would sit with kids and talk to them.
Yeah.
That was a awesome show.
I think so. I mean, obviously this has people's attention, but
don't you feel like we have become the baby boomer generation where they're just marketing directly at us in our childhood now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like even this wasn't really our childhood, but they just Nick started re-airing the 90s shows what's his name from SNL? and Clarissa Knows or Explains It All, and like all those shows got re-aired on Nick recently.
Mm-hmm. They play him at like at midnight or something, don't they?
What the hell's his name?
Keenan Thompson?
Thompson.
Keenan and Kel?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. Do you like that?
I had an
absurd, make you feel old?
Absurd crush on Clarissa when I was a kid.
All guys our age had a crush on Clarissa.
Holy God. I remember I went to Universal here in Orlando on a quest to find her.
Did you go to a taping?
Because it was when Nickelodeon Studios was here, and I remember trying to sneak.
Yeah.
I remember trying to sneak into the area so I could, you know, so I could be alone.
This is getting a little creepy, I think.
Yeah. Keep talking.
Yeah, and I never found her. You know, I never got to meet old Clarissa.
Well, I think she's on a show now with Joey Lawrence called.
No, that got canceled.
Melissa and Joey.
Didn't that get canceled like 3 years ago?
I don't know.
There's no way that is still on the air.
Melissa and Joey?
Yeah, Melissa and Joey.
Joey Lawrence.
Joey Lawrence.
Yeah,
and
that's,
Clarissa.
That's the one.
Wasn't
man.
He on Blossom?
Yes. By the way, both of their names are just Melissa and Joey, so they can't act their way into new names. They just got to use the ones they had.
Yeah. What was Joey Lawrence's catchphrase?
Whoa. You remember that?
Man, that is a pretty fucking easy catchphrase. I mean,
whoa.
This requires nothing.
Well.
Whoa.
I
remember that.
There's a website. Is this show still on? I think
is
it's
it
still
really?
On. Yeah.
I think it's new.
Yeah, it's still, yeah.
No, it's not new.
Is Melissa,
it's got to be at least 2 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Melissa Joan Hart still beautiful?
She's attractive.
She's
yeah,
like
sure.
35 now.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. All right. So anyway,
you like him young? I don't know. That was weird. Well, you don't like him young? That sounded odd.
20.
It's an inside joke that doesn't mean what everybody would take that
yes,
as.
Yes.
It
all
came,
right.
It came out in 2010, and it's still going.
It's almost 2012, bro.
It's still going. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
This is just totally derailed.
Wait, what were we doing? Oh, In Living Color. So yeah. two special episodes.
That's cool.
In the
are
fall,
they like holiday
in the spring.
Episodes or something?
I don't know.
Oh, in the spring?
I think they're going to be in the spring. And then right. If it works out well, it'll probably be on in the fall.
Cool.
Cool.
I'll watch it.
What's the SWOTOR update?
Yeah, what is a rationed launch?
Rationed launch. Well, Scott and I were talking about this briefly, but there have been reports that they're going to cap... the number of copies sold right at launch for Star Wars The Old Republic at 500,000 in order to make sure that everyone can actually get on.
So I have a good question.
Yes.
Or do you need to finish?
No. Ask your question first, and then I'll continue.
I already pre-ordered. Am I in that 500,000?
You're good.
Yep, okay. You're good.
You're good if you pre-ordered. It says, I'll just read this. And this is Kotaku reporting, by the way. It says, earlier rumor had it that pre-orders of the MMO would be capped at 500,000 with only the first 50,000 of them guaranteed. The rest would be queued in a prioritized waiting list. says they're using the beta test to inform them of what scale that they can handle. So essentially, the beta test is to see server capacity and make sure that they can handle the load.
Like what?
And I understand that, but
what game doesn't launch nowadays and then the servers crash on day one? You know what I mean?
Didn't Gears crash on day one? I heard they had some difficulty.
I don't know if Gears
not in like a bad way that they just had difficulty.
I don't know. Gears 2 had a horrible launch. Gears 3 was pretty seamless because of their beta, but Battlefield's been rough.
Oh, Battlefield, I've heard, is having problems left and right.
Been really rough.
So I was listening to Weekend Confirmed, and they were talking about how basically nobody runs on dedicated servers anymore.
Okay.
And that's why they're having these problems, that it all gets run through Xbox or peer-to-peer or that kind of stuff. And they're now having significant load problems.
I
might be totally wrong.
I know there's very few games that are running on dedicated servers because it's very expensive to do that.
Yeah.
So they have to have guaranteed.
And Lord knows EA does not have the money to run dedicated servers for this stuff.
Come on.
It seems like this is going to be awesome for the first 50,000 people that get into the game. And then.
Well, that's beta, though, right?
No, this is the
actual game is capped at 50,000, and then you're just not guaranteed after that.
Yeah, well, and here's why I think this is kind of a good thing.
No, go ahead.
I think it's a good thing because in order for this game to be a success, the first week has to be flawless. You cannot have people try to get on.
But if it's flawless to only 50,000 people.
But if they cap the number of copies that they're actually allowing retailers to hold and possess, and then you are guaranteed to play when you have a copy of that game, all it's going to do is increase the demand for the game.
So if I buy a copy and then I sit on it for a month,
yes.
I mean, like, I guess my question is it the first 50,000 people to buy the game, or the or 500,000 or whatever, or is it the first 50,000 people to get online and register? Because that's the race I don't want to get in.
I don't know. I actually don't know. And I don't know if this is, you know, how legitimate this report is, but it just came out today saying that they're going to try and ration the launch and slowly release more copies so that they can make sure that the servers are going to be able to hold the demand. Because the last thing they want to do is sell, let's just say, for instance, a million copies sell in the first week, but the servers can only hold 50,000 or, you know, 500,000. It's going to be constant crashes.
I guess my problem with it is this. This is not Bob's brand new MMO IP. Let's hope this does well game. This is Star fucking Wars done by BioWare, you know, put out by EA.
Yes.
So, like, your servers should handle, you should literally be, that should be your goal, to handle 1.5 million people on day one, whether you hit it or not, because you know eventually you will.
It seems like it's a calculated risk, though, because it's like they know that maybe in a month from now, like, 100,000 might be more realistic. So the choice is like, well, do we spend like a ton of money getting like 1.5 million ready to go on the first month, you know, or do we just wait a month and then see where we are, and then that's the goal we're shooting for? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't really have a solution. I just think it's interesting. And Scott and I were talking right before you got here, Matt, and we were saying that back in the heyday of World of Warcraft, there could be up to a 2-hour queue for my server on the East Coast.
Right.
And we would have to do
I did that.
Yeah, we would have to do all sorts of crazy stuff just to get on.
I don't think every 2 hours, but like 45 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
Just like sitting
and
there waiting.
And that was agitating, especially if you're paying a subscription to play. You should be able to play the moment that you want to play with no wait.
I guess that's just what I'm saying. Like, could you imagine? It's just shitty because this is a game you're paying for. This is a game they know is going to sell a crazy amount of copies. Like, what if Facebook made you queue up to log in, or was like, hold on, everybody, we're only going to let 100,000 people in at first because we're just not sure about how well this is going to do. Like, I guess, like, that's what, like, I guess that, isn't that what beta's for? Like, then fucking open a beta and let everybody hit your servers and see what happens, because no one's going to be mad if your beta blows up.
Yeah, that's true.
But the problem is now, I guess betas blow up and they get bad press, and then the game gets tanked, and that's what they don't want to have happen either. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it says, we're going to use our beta test to inform us of what scale that we can handle. Our pre-order campaign is tailored towards how we're going to do that. So they're basically using that beta to see what load they can handle and kind of planning accordingly, depending on how many pre-orders and such that they do. So,
I was going to make a joke about what kind of load you can handle.
Oh, you know.
So, let's talk about Resident Evil.
That's what I think about it.
Yeah, no, so Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City. It was originally supposed to come out November, December.
Now, which game is this? Is this
too many titles coming out?
Is this like the new? Is this the reboot, like new company game? Is that that one? You said there was.
This,
like,
this is the open world one, or the multiplayer one, or
this
whatever.
This is the 4-player co-op action title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 4-player co-op action title. Originally supposed to go gold in November or December.
New studio, right?
Yes.
Okay.
These are Slant 97,000 is the name of the studio. I don't know the name of the studio. I forget the name of the studio. But it is now getting pushed until the end of March. And it comes out, I think, about 3 weeks after Mass Effect.
So what they're trying to do is guarantee no one will play their game.
Well, it does come with some cool pre-order stuff, a bunch of skins. It does come with they just announced the collector's edition today. Steelbook, Umbrella, Security, Spec Ops, Field Patches, exclusive 8 exclusive weapons.
Slant 6 in-game. Games.
Slant 6? Yeah, I was going to say Slant 6, but that's the name of an old band, an old punk band. You remember they were on Ian MacKaye's label. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, Slant 6. They weren't very good. But anyway, that's why I didn't say Slant 6. But anyway, so Operation Raccoon City.
Slant 6 was an all-female punk rock trio based in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah, no problem. So are you guys going to think about...
40 bucks?
Yeah, $40 game.
Unless it comes out or betas and it just looks phenomenal, then I mean I might pick it up.
What, this Resident Evil?
Yeah,
we still have to play Resident Evil 5. Co-op.
Yes, that game is a turd.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
It just is. It just and ouch. The problem with playing it now is that it feels old.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It just doesn't feel like a new game and
graphically still impressive.
Yeah, I mean the graphics are fine.
You know what the worst part about that is? Is they actually had an all new control scheme already built into early alphas of that game, meaning you can move and shoot. There were like iron sights for the guns and everything. Everyone says it controlled beautifully, and they took it out.
And they were like, "No, let's just keep it the same."
Moved it back to the same control scheme as Resident Evil 4 for I don't know why.
And it's not even a scary game. It's like it's outdoors and it's bright outside.
Yeah, there are reviewers that have played the version with where you can move and shoot and such, and said it was a lot of fun.
So, oh well.
Yeah.
Instead, we got a turd.
Yeah.
But we'll play it.
Yeah.
That game is always slightly racist, by the way.
Oh,
just a little bit. It's just like a tinge of racism. It feels like.
Yes, and I think
they're like all the bad people are Mexican. And you're like, this feels weird.
Wait,
and then the next
second.
One's like, now we're in Africa killing black people. And you're like, I don't like this.
That's horrible.
It's the truth.
At least they made your for
like
some
in 1, 2, and 3, you killed like raccoon guys, so it was fine.
Although, what are you saying?
Now I just think about that and I realize what I just said.
Raccoon guys.
This is a horribly racist game.
You are, gosh, you're just going to burn.
I didn't make the game.
Can't back that truck up far enough, can I?
I did not make that game.
Back that ass up. Oh, no. Hold on. Audio just cut out.
Reviews.
So Dance Central 2 came out this week.
It did.
And it is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, let's talk about how cool the price was. Amazon, if you bought this game from Amazon, pre-ordered it, you got a $10 credit. Amazon gave you 400 Microsoft points to allow you, like 400 Microsoft points is what you would have to pay to import your songs from the original game into Dance Central 2.
It comes with a code though, right? A freebie code?
Yeah, in the box, there's a code for another 240 points to go into the store and buy a song.
Oh, okay.
And then the code that you need to import the songs from Dance Central 1 is either printed on the manual of Dance Central 1 or is in the box somewhere.
Okay.
But, so it's like kind of a sweet deal because you get all this free stuff with it. And on top of that, the game is awesome. So
let's talk about some of the modes that kind of distinguish this from the first Dance Central.
I actually haven't a chance to try it yet, but I hear that there's a career mode where you dance against different dance crews. Pretty much like this game is almost a version 2.0 in the sense that everything that was not so great about Dance Central 1 was improved upon. And there weren't really a lot of things that it's not like Dance Central 1 was bad. It's just that there was room for improvement, and they went out into the community, took feedback, and then incorporated those changes into Dance Central 2. So we talked a little bit about this last week when we were talking about the demo, but just simple things like the ability to practice specific dance moves in the practice mode as opposed to like having to do the whole routine.
Yeah.
Being able to slow the practice down so you can see how the move works and try to do it. It's got jump in, jump out,
awesome.
Co-op play. And it recognizes people. So if you jump in, it'll recognize like your gamer tag if you're signed on to the machine.
Is there a career type mode or is there like a campaign?
Yeah. That's what I said. There's like a dance, like challenge dance cruise career style mode. It's got, I guess the workout mode is more enhanced. There are now, you can create playlists now. So if you just want to like queue up a bunch of songs and start dancing.
Oh, that's cool.
Playlists are already.
Because that was weird that you couldn't, that didn't exist in one, did it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And they've actually like sort of prepared some playlists for you ahead of time. Like, you know, here's like a workout mix or something like that.
What are some of the song or dance number highlights in this one?
What's really cool about what I think the song selection in this game, I think that they tried to cater to a lot of different audiences. So there's like club music or music that you'd hear like in spin class or something, because that's what my wife commented, is that there are a lot of songs like that she hears like at the gym. And then there's like...
So Eye of the Tiger?
No, like it's like club music that's
popular.
Are you
working out in the
80s?
That's probably the last time I worked out was the 80s.
And then they've got like stuff like for the kids. So there's like some Justin Bieber in there.
Is it like dance remixes of Justin Bieber, or is it
just straight up
Justin Bieber?
I don't think so. And you know, then there's like Lady Gaga, so there's like straight up pop music, and then there's old school hip hop. So now this game has like some Bobby Brown in it.
Oh, nice!
It had Belle Biv DeVoe in the first one. Which
it's got Montel Jordan. This is how we do it. Yeah, so it's got tracks like that, and then it's got some disco.
Was he the one that peed on a girl?
No, that's R. Kelly. Allegedly.
I saw the video. It happened.
I did.
Why did you?
This is
at
the
that?
Creepiest podcast ever. We're doing it 3 days before Halloween. So the music.
How about the graphic quality? Did they upgrade graphics at all? Or
I mean, it looks good. I mean, not to get too like.
I know you're just looking at a person while you're dancing, but like.
Yeah, I mean, not to get like too home theater technically, but like. You can play this game now in the overscan mode. So like instead of playing it in 16:9, you can play it where everything's like, there's just like, you get that outside border and there's actually a menu option for like, oh, I'm playing an overscan, and it'll give you like that 5% real estate around the outside edge of the screen.
So you haven't tried co-op yet, co-op dancing.
Yeah. My wife is very competitive, even in situations where I didn't know we were being competitive, so we're gonna ease into the simultaneous multiplayer.
Right,
I get you. I was gonna ask you how
she doesn't want you to tank her score.
How the Kinect?
Oh no, she dances under her own profile now.
Oh right,
those achievements are hers.
Okay. Do you foresee the Kinect being able to pick up both of you with no problem?
Yeah, I think so, because of how quickly the Kinect was able to recognize us. Even like switching out in between songs.
Yeah.
And I think at one point I even walked behind her, like while she was in the middle of a song, and the TV like saw me, picked me up, and thought I was in the game.
Oh, okay.
So it seems to be working harder than it worked in the past.
Very cool.
Did this feel just like a Rock Band 1 to Rock Band 2? Kind of like everything just got fixed and better and just like incrementally done well.
Yeah.
Harmonix is really good at that.
Yeah, it's just overall impressive. And there's like, I guess the thing that you can say about their games is that there's a lot of polish, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And the fact that, like, the thing that's interesting is that I wanted to make a suggestion for a song, and right now they don't have the same system that they have for Rock Band, so I actually had to go into the forums and figure out where to suggest a song. But the point of the story is that I went, there was a forum, I think, that was started by Ali Thresher, and it was like, give us feedback on our current game and let us know what we can fix. And the first comment I saw, which was like in 2000, whatever that was, like a year or two ago, was something that is now in the game.
Oh, cool.
Like, that's awesome. We should have the ability to practice individual dance moves. And they're like, awesome idea, done, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. That's
and I feel like we've talked about, you know, how cool harmonics is before, but like simple things like listening to your community, you know, is like something that they do and a lot of people don't. And it's kind of like, why, you know.
Could not agree with you more.
Awesome.
So, yeah, definitely a buy. Like, it's a party game. It's a workout game.
So those
game.
Bonuses, though, that you talked about, you'll still get the 240 inside the game, but the rest of the stuff was pre-order?
Yeah, I don't know, like, what the availability of that is, but, like, I saw boxes on the shelf. You get 240 with it. The,
yeah.
You know, the pre-order had 10 plus extra 400, but...
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good
it's,
deal.
It's amazing. Keep we up the good work.
We will pick it up.
Yep.
I won't. I don't have a Kinect.
You will one day.
Never. I will.
You will.
So Ash and I spent all week, again, playing Batman Arkham City.
Yes.
I did beat it on hard, which was...
Congratulations.
...significantly hard.
That's awesome.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I know what we want to talk about, but this game is, is just...
We let's talk a little bit about the tech of this game, because we talked a little bit about story last week, and now that we've both beaten it and kind of played through the whole narrative... I was telling you earlier,
real quick.
If
you want to be spoilery, I can go walk the dog, and then you can, if that's what you want to do. I mean, I can ask questions like we normally do, but if you really are
let's talk about the game for a few minutes, okay. And then if you want to go away while we spoil it, maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, earmuffs mode.
Okay.
But we were talking about the tech of this game, and I was kind of joking around with Matt. I'm like, this game feels. Like it's from the future, sent to the past in terms of the amount of polish and how this game looks for a current generation game.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but it's not like they spent an extraordinary amount of time on this game.
No, they really didn't. They spent a couple of years. I mean,
let me ask a question about this game, because I didn't play this one. I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
Like what? Where do you improve upon the first one? Like, how do you make a game that's awesome? How do you make it better?
Well, I think the thing for me, the first game just felt very claustrophobic. Like it felt like, okay, well, I'm Batman, but I'm basically a prisoner as well with all these other inmates inside this asylum.
And we talked about it, it's Metroid style, you know, where it's like you go down one path, you push a little bit, and you go down the other path, push a little more.
But if you take all that away, and I think one of the major stars of the Batman series has always been Arkham City, has always been just the vibe, you know, and I think, you know, Tim Burton did a great job of like capturing that really kind of dark gothic feel, very, you know, very strange feeling place. And you get that whole vibe from this game, because you can go to any rooftop and just kind of sit there and, you know, and take down bad guys.
And so many, like, we've talked about this in other games, and I think the thing is, like, I would compare this to an Apple product, where they took a bunch of known things, like, you know, the way you building, jump from building to building, the way the world is very much alive while you're running through it, everything, like the fighting system, the countering system, everything is just like, they took these things, they already existed, they were already being done very similarly in other games, and they just polished the crap out of it and made it so good and so, like, near flawless that everything that happens in the world is just like, like, when you're just riding around in the city, there are conversations going on among people. Like, there's just groups of people talking to each other while they're sitting. And, like, people you could fight, but they're just people that are talking. But the stuff they're talking about is, like, relevant to where you are and who you are and what happened previously and what's going on in the story. Like, it's all, like, and it doesn't feel triggered. It feels like, it just feels like they're having a conversation.
And some of the conversations are long. Like, you'll like,
let's you say, could sit on a building and listen.
Yeah,
to
let's
it.
Just say you're Catwoman, right? And something happens and you beat the Penguin. This is a totally fabricated situation. You beat the Penguin. You could be sitting there, like, sitting on top of a dumpster, and there'll be guys across the street, and you can eavesdrop on their conversation. They'll be like, I can't believe the Catwoman kicked the crap out of the Penguin. And then they'll talk for like 5 minutes and be like, yeah, I'd like to take Catwoman's pants off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's real. Like, throughout the entire game, and even when you complete the game, they talk about stuff that now that the game's over, they're like, what's gonna happen now? The game is over.
Yeah.
It's like, it's pretty awesome.
It's really awesome.
And I like that your common street thug is Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
They all sound exactly like that.
Hey there, Fry Guy. You guys,
they kind of all do sound like
they
that.
They really do. They're all like this weird New York.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like everything, like the whole world, like even, and this is one thing I wanted to talk about tech-wise, is that I was just going back and playing the game more after I beat it. And you do a lot of stealth, but you don't... It's like... I would compare it to if I wanted to sneak around this room without you guys knowing. Not like... It doesn't feel like, oh, I hit a button and then I just stealth around and, like, you know, nobody can see me. I'm totally stealth and I'm just doing whatever I want. Like,
yeah.
You have to actually sneak around, like... Like you would sneak around. Like, it's like, I don't know how else to put it. Like, you have to, like, you have to devise a path that does not put you in contact with the people.
Yeah.
And then you have to devise a way to get down behind them and then, like, sneak up on them and then take them out and then get away before anybody else notices you. Like,
yeah.
But it's not like in a way that you're like, okay, and then I'll just hit the Y button and everything will be totally fine. Like, that's not how it works at all. But it's amazing, and it works. Yeah. Like, it works really well.
And it's
well.
Not overly punishing. Like,
no. You can you always soft land, so you're almost never fall, and, like, 50 people will jump on you. You always
can jump,
like,
off the
land.
Highest building, and you'll never take damage. And that makes... I mean, for me, like, in games, I have a fear of heights of games.
Yeah.
And this is, like, I never...
Even if you fuck up and fall in the water, you just, like... You grapple back up onto a surface, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
There's no... It's like Prince of Persia. That one Prince of Persia where you couldn't actually fall, the girl would always save you.
Oh, yeah. Sands of time.
But at the same time, it's not as, it didn't feel as, like, forced as that. It feels really normal. Like, it just works.
Yeah. Because Batman's not going to fall in the water and die. I
mean, no.
Come on. But in terms of overall narrative and stuff, I thought the story was great. I've always, like, really, I've never been the biggest DC fan. And I've always kind of felt like Batman and his rogues gallery exist in their own little subcategory of DC.
I would compare it to Spider-Man.
Yeah, but even more so than that, they're so well done. The villains have so much depth. And even in this game...
And there's,
like,
so many fucking villains.
Oh, in this game? Oh, it's ridiculous.
Holy God. And they're all unique. All of their scenarios are, like special to them. And,
yeah.
Oh, it's...
Yeah, like, for instance, like, the main plot's going on, but you'll, like, stumble across, like, a corpse and be like, hey, this corpse is kind of fucked up.
The face-carved one?
Yeah. I just finished Identity Theft this morning. It's crazy.
I haven't done it yet.
It's crazy. But,
Well, there was one, and I texted Ash about this, there was one where they tell you, there's, like, a scenario that you're going to go to it thinking you're going to get something, and it ends up you get drugged, and you wake up, and it's the Mad Hatter, which is, like, a weird B-player that's in the Batman universe. And then you end up in this, like, crazy psychotropic, like, setting where you're fighting, like, these weird rabbit-faced guys. And, I texted Ash. I was like, holy shit, did you do the Mad Hatter one? He's like, yeah, I just did it, blah, blah, blah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's so good.
Can't wait.
Yeah, all the different villains definitely have their own vibe. And it's really amazing to see how Batman treats each one. Because his reactions to each one of the villains it's all very, very different. And some of them he actually, like, I don't want to say teams up with, but he... You know, everyone's in this really bad spot. So it's sort of like the enemy of my enemy is my friend in this sort of situation. So Batman works with some people that you wouldn't ever expect him to work with, but it's like a very bad, you know.
I mean, I'll just say the character's name because it doesn't ruin anything.
Yeah.
But when you show up and Bane's there, did you not think you were going to get in a fight? Right when I saw him, I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to be in a fight.
Yeah.
Didn't you fight him in the previous game?
Yeah,
though?
He did.
Yeah.
And he remembered, you know, he's like, you hit me with your car. And you're like, oh, shit. Sorry about that whole car thing. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff like that.
It really is. And I still maintain, I know this was blasphemous when I said it last week, but I maintain this is a better game than Assassin's Creed has put out at all. And it's... I think the closest title that you could compare to this game is Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And not saying that it's better than what 3 is necessarily going to be.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that 2 and
Brotherhood,
the fighting system alone, but even in their open world sense and the way you go through buildings and, like, it just, this game is just way more fluid. It's way
but
more
I really
polished.
Like slapping a guy in the face and then stabbing him in the back of the leg with my sword.
But there is, like, it's like I
said, know there's stuff like that in Batman too, but I never get tired of seeing that.
Right. But here's the thing. You won't see the same animation over and over in Batman.
Right.
You'll see, like, it's just like swear to God, beat the entire game, was playing it again. I'm 50% through with the game, like, content in total. I was replaying it and today, and I saw a brand new animation I had yet to see at all in the game. I was like, how do you have this many animations?
There's some of them are so cool, like when you when guys have knives or machetes and they're swinging at you with blades, that whole dodge sequence.
Yeah.
look so awesome that I purposefully let them swing at me. I'm just like, oh, I just gotta see it. I just gotta see it. And you just like kind of like, you know, Neo dodge out of the way.
And this is my last point, and if you've got more, you can say. Yeah. But we even today, Ash and I discovered that we fight completely differently. Yeah. Like I use certain bat tools that he does not use, yeah. The game just seems endless in playability. Like it just seems like I feel like I'm never going to get tired of this game, that I could pick it up in a year and play it again and I would still love it as much as I love it now.
Yeah. I think it's really, really, really well done.
So easily one of the top three of this year.
Easily.
Easily. My number one action title so far.
Definitely. Yeah. What would you Gears?
I kind of consider that's my shooter. I consider that a
right,
shooter.
But I'm saying like as far as overall
games,
Gears
was better.
You've got Gears,
yeah.
and
while it is not the same, is clearly not the same game. But Uncharted 3 comes out on November 1st.
Sure,
for which I am completely stoked.
Yes. It is at this point for me. It's got to be my game of the year.
It's your game of the year.
I've not fallen in love with a game like this since Mass Effect or Assassin's Creed. I mean, those are the only other two games that I've just died over, like this game.
Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Let's talk about Battlefield 3.
So Battlefield 3, my love-hate relationship.
Let me ask you a question right off the bat.
Yeah.
Could you get into game online on day one?
I'll do a 2-minute explanation of my miserable experience with day one in this. So I picked it up. Automatically there's a big patch, day one patch. I don't know what it is, but it was huge. Took a little while to install. Then I did a install of the game. You just hit Y, do content.
So
install.
You installed it from disk.
Installed it from disk.
In the high res textures.
Well, that's something else.
Okay.
So patch.
Okay.
Installed from disk and then installed the texture pack from the second disk. It's a 2-disk game, right? All right. Once I did all that.
Right. How long did that take?
All of that took 45 minutes to an hour to get rolling. Yeah,
that's not too bad.
And that's probably being a little generous, but so 45 minutes to an hour, I'm like, I'm going to try the single player campaign because Battlefield's never had a single player campaign.
Right.
I fucking hated it.
Really?
Whoa, really?
Hated the single player campaign. Like,
because Bad Company's single player was good, right?
Well, early reviews of this one said that it was like because of their desire to make it as quote unquote real as possible, it ends up just being kind of like falling flat.
Dude, it was in all honesty, okay, they do a pretty incredible job making it feel real, but so many of the actions of your squad mates are like really heavily scripted. Like for instance, when you breach a house, there'll be like a 30 to 45 minute sequence of these guys like bullshitting with each other, which is fine. I love character development stories. But then they'll like breach the house and like it almost feels like you're just an observer and you're not part of it, because you can go anywhere when all your AI buddies are going through like these, you know,
room clearing exercises.
Yeah, exactly. And they're, you know, it looks awesome, but you're not really part of it. You're like, you can run off on the side and stand in the corner like fucking Blair Witch, you know? So
did you do that?
I did that. I was like, I'm just going to go over here. So I really wasn't enjoying it. And then finally, I ended up, there's a sequence where you play as a pilot in a jet sequence. And I'm like, cool. You don't play as the pilot. So the jet's on rails for like 15 minutes.
Oh.
You play as the gunner. So you basically just control the reticle and like...
That's kind of like a tenet of these games, though.
I mean, you do that in Call of Duty, too.
Yeah,
you do the
it's a little more epic, but...
Yeah, this AC-130 scene. Mm. So it's similar to that. It was honestly... I played it after I'd been at work all day. The flight sequence was so boring that I literally fell asleep while I was in the jet. I fell asleep while I was in the jet, and I still managed to live somehow. And then I finished that, and I was just like, I am not enjoying this, so I'm just going to stop playing it. So I turn it off. I go to hit multiplayer, and it's like, switch the disc to the multiplayer disc.
There
and
you then go.
Wait, even though you installed?
Yes. And then I was just like, you know what? I want to play some Batman. So I turned it off. I was agitated by this point. It was like 2 hours in, you know, an hour of installing, and then whatever. So I play Batman for a little bit. I go back. I turn multiplayer back on. I swap discs. And play a couple rounds of multiplayer and got hosed horribly, got my ass kicked. Similar to your,
did they tweak it at all or no?
They
because I mean it was pretty ridiculous in the beta.
Oh no. It's the same. It's the same. Very unforgiving. very, very punishing. But I do have some good things to say about it. So I got my ass kicked, and then all the servers crashed for the whole night.
Yeah,
all night until
what a surprise
until 3 a.m. So no, I couldn't play anyway. I was actually kind of fine with that at this point. I had almost rage quit. So over the course of the next almost week now, I've kind of had this love-hate thing going with the game. When the game is good, it is so good. Like, the things that you can pull off and you know, in terms of how the maps are set up and vehicles and speccing your character and all the different guns, everything is beautiful about it. But it is like the Dark Souls of shooters.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
brutally unforgiving.
Well, you can spawn on a squad mate at any time.
Yeah.
After you die, but there's no spawn protection. So you can spawn while your buddy's in the middle of a firefight.
And then die.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And it's gotten to where I've spawn died about 5 times in a row, and it's the most aggravating.
Because there's also going to be a blip where you're there and not playing, too, right? So can it just kill you, basically?
Well, I mean, you spawn in.
I mean, there's no way to not have a slight delay of you showing up before you have your wits and start firing at things.
Yeah. Well, every time you spawn in on the squad mate, you're completely disoriented.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fairly certain that people are letting your squad leader live so that his teammates can spawn back on top of him.
Yeah.
So that, like, they can just keep getting points.
That's probably the case. In terms of, like, cool bells and whistles, they have things like IED, disarming robots, and all different sorts of rocket launchers and drones that you can pilot and things like that. So there's a lot to unlock.
So you didn't get to, like, fly in a plane or ride in a tank or anything?
No, I did. I got to use pretty much all the vehicles.
So I can write this game off as a work expense.
You can.
Because there's robots in it.
There are.
For whatever you do at work.
Dude, they are so incredibly hard to control. I don't understand, like, how anybody...
It's realistic.
You're not doing your job.
It's realistic.
Yeah. So, all in all, if you are a fan of shooters, if you're a fan of war games...
I don't know if you're a fan of shooters. I think this is combat sim.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of combat
sim. It's pretty much...
See, that's the thing,
sim.
Is that, like, this is, like...
They've broken their own genre.
Like, there needs to be a new genre called, like, KD ratio... like shooter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like people can just stay over there.
But these like hyper real shooters are just like, they've just become their own beast. Because this versus Gears versus Halo, I mean, those are like completely different games from this game.
But what I took away from this is I am...
never going to be a soldier?
Well, that, I die constantly. So definitely not going to be a soldier. But also canceling Modern Warfare 3.
Oh, you're over
it,
huh?
Yeah, I'm canceling it.
It sucked the life out of you, huh?
Dude, I've always loved the Battlefield series, just like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not loving this, I for sure as hell I'm not going to love Modern Warfare with how good those kids are. There's no fucking way.
I have a follow-up question, and if the one person we know that might randomly listen to this part, which probably isn't going to happen, but so what happens if... what's their names? Put out a new game and it's a combat war sim.
Oh, if Respawn?
Respawn, yeah.
I'll buy that.
Yeah. Just because it's Respawn.
I'll buy that. I have a feeling.
Because that's studio.
I have a feeling those guys are going to put out something ridiculous.
Yeah. I was just wondering, because I didn't know if you were like, I'm done with combat sims, or I'm just done with... These are two distinct companies putting this stuff out.
Yeah.
So.
And the thing is, like, honestly, it's so much fun. There's something that keeps pulling me back and like making me want to play Battlefield, but like... Holy Lord.
Do you
like,
think, it, you know...
Because it's brutal. That's the problem, is it's completely brutal.
Brutal.
You know
but can
I mean?
We still do... Like, can we still host our own... Like, let's say we get 16 people with the game. Could we have an 8-on-8
We'd probably have a
we
blast.
Is that feasible anymore or no?
I don't know if you can do private matches. I know you can assemble a squad and go in with your squad and all play together, but I don't know if you can do like a
Why
private...
Why not anymore? Why can't you private match anymore?
Do you think that...
It's ranked. Everything's ranked. Ugh.
Do you think that the sort of the hardcore nature of this game is creating like an opportunity for DICE to like make a game that is not as crazy as this is?
See, I kind of miss like... When I was playing this, I was like, man, this is really cool. All this tech is awesome. The new Frostbite engine's ridiculously awesome. But I'm like... I miss Battlefield 1942. I miss Bo Cage, and I miss El Alamein, and I miss, like, there was because it was a little bit more forgiving in terms of how much damage you can take and how much damage a vehicle can take.
Right.
You could last a while. You could like run out in the desert with your friends in a Jeep and just like go fuck around and laugh. This is like, if you let live 5 minutes, it is a fucking miracle.
I've told you the stories of playing Battlefield 2 on PC with like people yelling into my ear, like shouting commands at me, telling me what to do. Like as if this were like actual combat, you know?
Yeah.
They're your squad leader.
Nobody talks in this right now.
But I'm saying there should be a game made by this company that is not as crazy as this game is.
I agree. I mean, DICE are the guys are geniuses at what they do. I don't think this game needed a single player campaign. But
you know what I'm kind of hoping for and waiting for is to see what other people can do with this engine.
Oh yeah.
Because the engine's flawless. I mean, the game looks gorgeous even on the 360, which it's admittedly not built for.
Yeah. So, again, if you're a fan of shooting stuff, pick it up. If you like to die a lot, because you're going to die a lot.
It's the classic love-hate relationship with EA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You played Ico.
Yeah, so I'm halfway through the Ico Shadow of Colossus reissue, meaning that I played Ico and finished it.
Nice.
How long is that game?
It took me, I think, because this is a Japanese game, so clearly your time is posted everywhere you play. It took me 5 hours and hours and 5 minutes to complete the story or whatever. But, you know, in classic Japanese game fashion, you're meant to play it a second time. There are trophies for completing the game in 4 hours and 2 hours. 2 hours. I thought I was doing well. You know what I mean? And I did recognize a couple of points in the game where I hit, like, snags or whatever. I'm like, I probably spent, like, maybe, like, a half an hour trying to solve this puzzle or whatever. But, like, when you're talking about shaving 3 hours off of a playtime that you thought you did pretty well at.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's, like, the old Resident Evil achievements to unlock Tofu. It was, like, you had to beat the entire Resident Evil game, which took me, like, I don't know, a couple week and a half.
Yeah.
In like 3 hours,
yeah,
the whole game.
Yeah, I remember our friend Adam trying to do this.
Yes,
like it's incredible. Like like the speed run thing. Like this is not like a cornerstone of American gaming. This is clearly like a Japanese thing. And like now, like as the rift becomes wider between the two, and then like American studios are developing American games for American audiences, you see these differences.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you start to see in this game. Because this game, I'm going into this, all I knew about the game is that it was like artsy and kind of beautiful and it was fun and like it was just a great game. And if you owned a PS2, this was the game that you bought.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I picked up this set just because of like kind of the reputation. And I was talking to Ash about this a little earlier. And as far as like Ash's interests are concerned, this is like a nightmare scenario for Ash.
Oh man.
A
platforming puzzle game.
This game is a platformer. This is escorting and it's puzzle solving. Like, and that's it. There's very, very, very little narrative. And
I thought there was supposed to be a big narrative in this game.
Well, it's like it's kind of told like, no, there's not. No. I'm not even gonna
try.
You
tried. You're like, nothing.
I think there's maybe like 4 or 5 cutscenes in the whole game.
Oh wow!
And the rest of the time, like the character that you're with, like the two, you don't speak to one another.
Why was this game so loved across the board?
Okay, I think maybe what made this game great is that it was like, first of all, it's like a HUDless game, so I think that's something that somebody can look this up while we're talking about it. But so it's like a HUDless game. It's puzzle solving, but puzzle solving is occurring like inside of a like sort of a narrative space. So you break out of a prison in a castle
so it was innovative.
Yeah, I think so.
It was very innovative, and that's why people love it.
And it had like a very like artsy kind of style. Like because there's not a lot of dialogue and the characters
it still looked pretty.
Right. And the HD remake is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, like I'm sure that a lot of people that listen will know this game or play it, but
0102, December of 01 or March of 02, depending on where you're
right. So I'm not like going to tell anybody anything they haven't heard before about this game, but I just think it's interesting to go back and play something that's 10 years old now.
Yeah,
and kind of look at it. Like for me, I'm looking at it through the lens of like what we're playing now. So it's kind of weird to like play a game like this because we have games that do thing like there's one game mechanic in this game, or there's two actually. There's solving puzzles, like pushing blocks around to get onto platforms, to turn levers, to open up passageways that take you to the next part of the level. That's one part. And then there's like a very like minor combat system where like sometimes enemies will try to capture the girl that you're with and you'll just have like a melee weapon. You have to fight them off.
Oh, okay.
But what's, you know, like the thing is like we have games like Prince of Persia now and Uncharted where there are platforming puzzle solving elements where you have to like pull levers and move boxes and stuff like that. But then there's like now these characters have dialogue. There are things that are happening. Like the combat is like ramped up a little more. So it's weird. It's a weird thing to play a game like this where it's just one thing.
Yeah.
Like solving these
games
puzzles.
Games have sure changed a lot since 2001.
Yeah. And I mean, I can appreciate this game for what it is. And I think there's actually going to be maybe a third. I can't, like, I was reading stuff online and this might be like there's a prequel or a sequel to this or.
Well, there's Shadow of Colossus is like the successor. And then the next game that they put out was called Last Guardian.
Is that out, Last Guardian?
Last Guardian was the big troll guy.
Oh, okay.
Supposed to be pretty good. You can get it on sale right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's out in like a year or two ago.
Gotcha. So, I mean, it's this HD collection is awesome. I don't have a 3D TV, but it's 3D enabled. If
nice.
You know, if you're into that kind of thing, I'll be playing Shadow of the Colossus next in HD, and maybe we'll talk about that.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Cool.
All right.
Sorry, I didn't.
Well, those were our reviews.
didn't mean to leave you hanging there. Just
thanks for checking that out because I haven't touched my PS3.
Yeah,
in a while,
I kind of like because we.
Well, from what we all hear, Shadow of the Colossus is the game that everybody poops themselves over. Ico is like it was like the critical hit that has like a really hardcore cult fan base, but Shadow of the Colossus was the one that was like this game's mind blowing and everybody just loves the.
And
shit
to be
out
honest,
of it.
I bought this. Collection for Shadow of the Colossus, yeah. And I intentionally played Ico first in case I didn't like it.
Right, right.
Because I just want to kind of do it and be like, okay, yeah, I played that.
So, sweet.
Cool.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We can do a musical break.
Yes.
And we'll come back with our open thread Twitter question.
All right.
Did we get any Twitter
Sounds
answers?
Sounds good. A couple.
We got, one or two. Something like that.
Sweet.
We'll be back. All right, we're back. You just heard some music by somebody.
Yep.
We don't know what it's going to be yet, so.
Nope. This podcast is a little different, first of all, because we're at my house.
Which is weird.
Not at Matt's house.
Does it feel weird?
We're further apart.
We're a little further apart.
Normally I can feel the warmth of your bodies close to mine.
And it's nighttime. We've been recording in the morning. Yeah. Now it's late. I think this is affecting our performance.
Well, that and I was up till 4 in the morning playing... getting fucking Riddler trophies.
And I slept for 5 hours and then sold shit to people for 6.
Yeah. So now it's the quiet storm.
So we had a question that we threw out there, and it was asking about open world games.
We literally threw it up.
We did. We were like, blah.
It's kind of in honor of the Batman thing, right?
A little bit. I was asking, what franchise do you think would actually benefit from an open world experience? And I'm curious what you guys think. What games would you like to see be open world? Anything?
Sorry, I'm thinking. I didn't get a chance to really think about this.
Okay, so for me, I would love to see if they could, just in the vein of Battlefield 3, if you could do an open world first-person shooter that has like persistent state world and you could go anywhere and do anything. I think that would be
pretty... Isn't that... But not an MMO?
But not really an MMO. Just imagine just like a much, much more massive scale, in terms of a war or a battle. Sort of like World War II Online.
That game would have to introduce conversation component.
Yeah.
Where you would go into like a Middle Eastern marketplace to get information, you know, I'm serious. Like if you wanted to be an open world, like realistic war simulator, like a lot of the time would be spent like talking to
locals.
Yeah.
Why have there been no successful Civil War games?
Because of the load time between the guns is too long.
Yeah, but they did like
you could just all line up on the hill and like load the musket and just wait
25 to 30 seconds between each shot and just like mowing people down.
Open world game.
Man. I mean, okay, and talking back about Batman, imagine Batman, if they made Batman Gotham City, and it was five times the size of the map,
right,
with even more stuff to do, and, you know, driving the Batmobile down the street, and, you know.
Flying the Batwing.
Yeah, Vicky Vale, flying Vicky Vale.
Okay.
What?
I came up with one. I'm going to go in like a totally different direction.
Yes.
I think they've tried to do something like this before, but it still has like sort of a linear element to it. I'm going to say SSX.
That's a snowboarding game.
Yes, it is.
That would be pretty cool.
Because they did have like a thing where you used to be able to like...
kind of skate. Skate was open world.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. See,
you just went wherever you wanted and just skated.
And skated?
Yeah.
Wow. So like in SSX, they did one where like there was a mountain and you can go from the top of the mountain to the bottom. And I think that took like a half an hour.
Wow.
Like, to actually do it.
That's pretty awesome.
But I'm pretty sure that if you wanted to go to one of the courses like off of the mountain, first of all, you had to keep going down, you know?
Yeah.
And second of all, I think once you went into the course, it was like, blip, you're on the course now. You know, it was like flash into a different environment.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty cool.
That's, I'm going to try to think outside of the adventure genre and say that.
Yes.
Like, that's get off your snowboard and like, just like in skate.
Yes.
You know?
You literally, you had like a quick travel map, but you could skate the entire county if you wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, you never had to stop.
And then just kind of mess around.
You could just
yeah.
keep skating wherever you wanted. Like, I remember when I would go from place to place, I stopped using the quick travel map. I would just like, all right, I'm going across the city, and I would just skate
just
across the city
out.
Just to like kind of do moves and practice stuff on my way there. And
that's,
it was
cool.
A ton of fun. Which, by the way, that game is woefully underrated and should have had better sequels.
You know what ruined that game online? Rocket Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Skate 2 was great, and then Skate 3 was just like a
exploit. I think there's an exploit that's been in both 2 and 3 where like if you ollie at the right time, you can like rocket jump like 100 feet into the air, do a bunch of moves and land it, and then get credited for it in like the face-offs in multiplayer.
Okay.
I don't know if it was ever fixed, but
interesting.
I always, and maybe I can't think of one where I get this, but I would love like not necessarily Mass Effect, but that'd be great, but just like some kind of like sci-fi space open world that doesn't require me to interact with real people.
You're not big in the social parts of the MMOs.
I hate MMOs, man, for
that
reason.
Well, I mean,
I like MMOs when, like, I actually enjoyed Star Wars Galaxy when it was, like, me, Scott, and Adam would just, like, run around and play together.
Yeah.
That's fine, but when it's, like, when you're on your own or you're grinding, it's like, WoW ruined every part of an MMO for me. I hated it after a while.
Yeah.
Because of that, but not necessarily like, because Mass Effect is kind of open world, but not like that. Like more of
like if Dead Space were on a space station and the space station were open world, like something like that.
I don't know.
Or the ship.
I'll have to think about
that.
That
could be
more.
Cool.
I just like the setting. That's like my favorite setting. So if I had a game,
I concur.
Yeah.
Like
there are certain trappings of open world games that kind of are. They share similarities with MMOs. I mean, like, even in Batman, there are things that are kind of like fetch quests. Like, those Riddler trophies are kind of, they're sort of fetch quests.
Or those Zaz.
Yeah, or get to this place in this amount of
time. Yeah, I would hate to be on my space station and then have someone challenge me to a foot race to the other side of the space station.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So this is more on the Mass Effect line. So are you one of the people that's in favor of the multiplayer component of Mass Effect? Because that sort of also has some elements of a sort of a more open worldy.
I'm not in favor of it until I see it. But I mean, I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I don't have the ill will towards multiplayer that some people at this table do.
You're going to play a Krogan. You're going to play a Krogan.
I don't think I will because I like
Vanguard.
Biotics. I like Biotics too much. So
you're
going to
play
Asari.
An Asari.
Slut.
And Scott's going to play a Salarian.
Speaking
yes.
of open world.
That guy's a dick, and I think it's hilarious.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Open world, a game that did open world really well that is not of your typical genre was Burnout.
Oh yeah.
Paradise. Oh, yeah, that was open world. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, EA has been doing some of the dry, like, I think there was a Need for Speed that kind of like those worlds were open for a little while when it was the most wanted series.
And it was
like
done
kind of
really well, and it worked. Like, you'd be driving around, and then it would just like, you would hit an intersection, it'd be like, hit X if you want to do a mission here. And you just like hit X and you do the mission. It was like, oh, this is pretty awesome. Like, it just played really smoothly, and It was fun to be able to, because I think the benefit of the open world is when you can just, like we were talking in Batman, those weird interactions you get, like in Batman where people are just talking, or in Burnout, you're driving and like, you know, you'd wreck or you'd hit something weird. Like it just like, that's the kind of stuff that was fun. Skate, you'd pull off some trick you would have never pulled off if you weren't just like skating around for no reason whatsoever.
I know I hammer this game a lot, but when you started talking about that in the conversations, I'm going to say again, no one lives forever. For the same reason that, you know, conversations are occurring and...
Very I guess cool. I don't, it's a hard question because I don't know. I'm starting to realize that I think I just really like open world games.
But maybe the open world game kind of lends itself to certain like mechanics.
Well,
you know what
it definitely does. I mean, another reason why I thought of this topic is because GTA 5 got announced this week that it is coming out probably end of next year. There hasn't been too much information about it yet, but obviously it's going to be a huge deal for Rockstar. And I know you guys aren't huge GTA fans, but what do you think drives you away from that series? Just the overall narrative or the...
No, that series has always driven me away because it's always felt impossible to finish. Yeah. They just didn't... They like the early GTAs, and I never played... what was the one after? There was one after 4, right?
No, was it 4? There's 4 and then 2 big DLCs that came attached to it.
I never played 4 anyways, but it never felt like... What I think Red Dead, what they did with Red Dead, and maybe they'll do it with 5, maybe it'll bring me back into 5, but they did with Red Dead that I never felt like they did with GTA previous to that, was allow you to explore, allow you to do what you want in the open world, but at the same time give you a very clear path on how to get through the game and easy ways to get to those points to make it through the game. Like,
yeah.
I never felt like I was like, oh, I have no idea which quest I'm supposed to be doing or what I'm supposed to be doing right now or what's going on in the world. It never felt like overwhelmingly big. And GTA used to feel overwhelmingly... Like, I played Vice City. I loved the shit out of that setting, and I loved playing it. I stopped halfway through because at some point I just was like, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. It's just they always hit those spans.
I didn't finish Vice City either. I got, like, probably 80% done. And
I just lost interest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they fixed with Red Dead, was giving this really interesting setting, making your title character really good. You know, I don't necessarily think it was that... the game has ever been bad or anything, or the open world is bad.
I think they've gotten better at writing a good story, too. I mean, Red Dead, all of us were probably on the edge of our seats waiting to see what the fuck was going to happen to this character, you know? But,
well, it's like you tweeted, you know, can I get a likable character in GTA for once? Like,
yeah.
Good Lord, God forbid somebody that we play is not this weird moral black, well, it's not even gray, it's like just a horrible person. Yeah,
Nico Bellic in GTA 4 was a real asshole.
Yeah.
And like, you know, GTA 3 was, what, Tommy Vercetti,
mm-hmm.
Vice City. He was funny. It was Ray Liotta, right?
Yeah, he was funny, but it was still like, you were Scarface. Yeah. Like, you were just a shithead.
Yeah, pretty like much. So I'd love to see, you know, God, just give me someone who's like morally just that I have to play as for 70 hours. You know,
like
what I mean?
Somebody, like some kind of like, you know, doing it for the right reasons, but doing it the wrong way. You know, like,
and you can still do bad shit, but exactly. I mean, it's like, I think we're finally over the era where like banging a prostitute in the back of the car, that's not really funny anymore. Yeah. And like, I don't want to have to like
bite. I've just done it so many times.
Yeah, I know, right? So many prostitutes.
Wait a second.
IRL.
Let's go to the Twitter wall.
All right.
We moved it with us from my house to yours.
Yeah, it's a giant, gigantic wall.
Let's
like,
wheel that wall
just
over
like,
there.
Just like Fahrenheit, you know?
All right. So we had a couple of our regulars answer.
That's a nice reference.
Thank you.
And
you're welcome.
Kittler C, our buddy Kittler C, he says, Mirror's Edge. The best part of the first was rooftop running anyways. Could do that just to get to missions, side quests, and races.
I concur.
I guess that wasn't open world because you were like timed in on rails essentially to get to where you're going. Not on rails, but you had to get to a certain place in a certain amount of time.
Imagine, if you will, a game that has free running that is open world. Imagine a Batman game multiplayer where you could play as Catwoman.
Oh.
Scott, you could play as Batman, and I will play as Thug, and then we can run around the
city.
You
could be like Robin or Nightwing, or there's like plenty of other characters.
Well, I mean, the thing about Mirror's Edge is, I mean, it is a free-running game, but that is the game mechanic. They intentionally overcomplicate free-running to like allow you to feel a sense of accomplishment when you're doing like trick moves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So even if it was just like a gigantic like... parkour, like obstacle course world environment. And
yeah.
But I think the thing about that game is the setting, because if you just had an open world free running game, you've got Assassin's Creed.
Oh, but I'm saying like, this is like a, it's like a playground, you know, Mirror's Edge, like that would be, that's the appeal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a parkour sim.
Awesome. All right. Our buddy Midtown 583 says, Mario, imagine riding Yoshi from town to town, now solving problems, fetch quests.
Mario has had a couple of RPGs, but they have not been open world games.
I would fucking hate this.
How cool? I think this would be awesome. I don't even know what this would be. If it would
Why
be
do
like
you hate Nintendo?
I don't know if this is an RPG or like an action game or whatever, but
you know why? I'm Italian, and he is a horrible racist stereotype of Italians that we are all mustached, spaghetti eaten, overall plumber people.
Do you like spaghetti?
Eating mushrooms. Yes.
And my dad has a mustache. And I'm actually kind of good at plumbing.
What if it was Mario Kart? Open world.
That would be sweet. I mean, like, let me get out of the cart. Like, let me walk around. Yeah. You know, like, I jump back in the cart.
All right. I'm probably piss off a couple of our listeners, but here's why.
You hate Mario Kart.
No, but here's why I've had it with Nintendo. They beat a fucking dead horse like nobody's
what?
Business.
It's just the seventh Mario Kart game.
Seven Mario Karts. How many fucking Marios were you riding around throwing turtle shells at shit? You have such raw power to create whatever you want. Where is the new Nintendo title?
Here's the problem. They created one of the most fun games ever created with their first title ever.
My beef.
They were like, Mario Brothers. Everybody was like, this is a near flawless game, and they just can't get off it. It's just Mario does, and Scott will probably back this up, but Mario does go through iterations. I mean, Mario Sunshine or whatever to Mario World to like... Those are different games. But Mario Kart's a fun game.
I hear
mechanic,
your beef.
Man.
Your beef is accurate because they haven't really changed a lot in Mario Kart. Like
no, but
in
it's
ever
fun.
In ever.
But it's fun.
Yeah, I mean it's tons fun. Of fun, it's but fun. Like,
but yeah, I mean, I mean the same thing you could argue about Call of Duty. You just shoot people, whatever. But I'm just saying,
you know, boil it down to you got a gun.
You got a gun. You shoot people. But I mean, my problem with Nintendo is wasted talent. Like you could create whatever you want. Like just build us something magnificent, a brand new IP. Why not? Like you don't need to. Everyone's all fucking stoked for Icarus. Are you kidding me? Like I rather.
But that's what I mean. They're
wedgie.
Banking. They're banking off of their old names. But I mean, that's what they.
Yeah, I don't know. I never really knew anyone who actually liked Icarus.
Right.
I mean, it was just like one game.
Yeah. Right. Kid Icarus. I remember it being very challenging, but. I don't know. Anyway, sorry to rant. We got a minute and 30.
What?
Time's clicking. We got a close.
Weird call out.
I don't think
we got a minute 30. Everybody,
we got to close this down.
Counting down.
This is my first time watching the clock. It's freaking me out. I feel like I'm in an episode of 24 and something's gonna explode.
Boop. Boop.
It's happening. Boop. Oh my god, the episode's ending. 1 minute left. We have 1 minute left. We have to wrap this up.
And that's why we do the podcast in the morning.
58 seconds.
I'm not used to not controlling anything. This is fun.
It's weird, right?
No, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, okay.
Just so you know, 51 seconds.
Man, I may stop recording these entirely. I'm going to let you guys do this from now on.
Well, how do we do on our Twitter question? I think we...
That was it.
Scott trying to wrap it back up.
Yeah, I want this. I'm really interested in this open world Mario game for real.
No, in all honesty,
but isn't okay? So, what is breakdown? What
I don't even
have more than a minute.
I don't even know what you would do in this
game.
We're
at an hour 40. We have more than a minute 30. What are the main tenets? I can't get the damn question out. What are the main tenets of an open world game? What makes an open like? Because there are Mario games where you can free travel from city to city. And
I guess in
stuff.
The open world, you can explore the environment for no other purpose than exploring the environment. And then at certain points in the game, you encounter like basically quests where it's like, kill this guy, find this thing, chase me down.
Okay.
Hopefully there would be like a narrative that you can opt to progress through or do something else, I guess. For me, like, and this doesn't really happen too much anymore, but I kind of want my open world to have mini games in it that you can just kind of
do for no reason.
Completely like abandoned the game, you know, because there
fishing
was a
in Zelda.
Like Legend of the Mystical Ninja. I think level 4 in that game was like an art, like a arcade world or like carnival.
I want an open world samurai game.
That'd be cool.
Kengo open world.
Kengo, good lord. Someone's got to go play Kengo and talk to Matt about it right now.
Kengo.
That's a story for another podcast.
But seriously, I like that setting too.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not a game. It would just be a setting that I'd want somebody to do a really good open world in.
Well, the thing, the whole reason for this is that Batman did it so well. And it was
so Mass Effect is not open world.
No. It would be open world if Mass Effect took place on a planet.
Or if you could just go to a planet and do something.
Various planets, yeah.
You can go to Omega, but there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Citadel, there's nothing going on. I don't know. That's one thing that annoyed me in 2 when I would just like, I'd be like, oh, maybe something's happening at the Citadel. I haven't been there in a while. And I show up and they're like, I can't talk to you. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks, guy I've known for a decade and saved your life twice.
Yeah.
I'll just get on my ship and fly away.
Anderson? Yeah. Anderson was a little bit of standoffish.
Yeah. I tried to bet him. It didn't
work. Did you? You tried to romance Anderson? Man, David Keith. The thing about David Keith is when you think about romancing him, you have to think about that movie with Jennifer Connelly.
Who is it? Who's David Keith?
David Keith. What's the movie with Jennifer Connelly about the drug addicts?
Oh, Requiem for a Dream?
Yeah.
Who is he?
He's the one who runs the party.
Oh, that's who that is.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about?
That's a brutal party. That was only a party for a few people.
Please, kids, don't watch that movie.
Don't watch that movie. Or watch it and just never do anything wrong ever again in your life.
You'll never think of Captain Anderson the same way again.
That game, that movie is...
At the end of that movie, I was like, I never want to see this movie ever again.
It's one of those movies where you watch it, you're like, this is really actually a good... It's like a good movie, how it's shot and everything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, the story, I guess.
It's Keith David, by the way, not...
No, David.
I think you said David Keith.
Yeah, I think you did.
I?
That's a different guy. Yeah.
No, he meant David, comma.
Yes.
Keith. Oh, right. Obviously.
Searching by IMDb. Mental break.
Wow.
That's fucking shit.
And that's how you wrap up a podcast.
I need a taco, motherfucker. I don't know what's happening. Anyway, so this was, I think, episode 7 of the Rated NA podcast. We will catch you guys pretty soon. Next week will actually be Matt's last one in FL.
Ever.
No.
Oh.
No.
In ever.
You're required legally to participate in podcasts.
We're going to have to, we're going to be testing our systems on how we're going to do it from then on.
They don't even
Do you like
know.
That look?
Yeah. Yeah.
Systems.
So we'll have a way to pull this off. Remote.
We didn't sing this week.
No, that's okay.
Scott sang.
I did a little
you
bit.
Did.
Yeah.
You did the fucking Rocco, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Turn the page, wash your hands.
Wow.
Hit stop. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm supposed to hit a button? Shit.